Blog Talk Radio. When you're down and troubled and you need some love and care and nothing is going right.
So have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up. From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. Sounds so nasty, doesn't it? But we have an exciting show for you today. Joyce Lest, radio host, caregiver, homeless ministry founder, abuse survivor, food pantry organizer. This woman is amazing, so you will want to stay tuned. You won't want to miss this show. Well, I am your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is about caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, selfless, sacrificial, and they are also very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. You know anyone like that? Folks, learn a lesson from the airlines. Remember, every time you board a plane, you kind of tune them out when they start to tell you about the emergency stuff because you've heard it a million times. But it's true. If there's an emergency and the oxygen mask falls out of the ceiling, you're supposed to put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your child with theirs. Now, that sounds like such a selfish thing to do, doesn't it? But they know why they do this. The reason is because you will most likely black out if oxygen levels go down, and you won't be able to help the person next to you when you don't put your needs above their needs. Got it? Well, caregivers are the same way. That's why we are here. And we also talk about grief and loss and the devastating effects that it can have on us. It kind of automatically throws us into this thing called the grief process. Another ouch. Unfortunately, folks, there's only one way out of the grief process. That's to go through the grief process. And hopefully we can help you through your grief process and your loss if you happen to feel like you're stuck. Hey, if this is your first time tuning in, you can learn more about me and the show, my radio podcast, my books, my videos, by going to the website davenass.com. That's Dave, and then the first four letters of my last name, N like Nancy, A like Apple, S like Sam, S like Sam, davenass.com. The name of our show also works, if you can't remember all of that. Just put in davethecaregiverscaregiver.com, and that'll work as well. Now, register your visit with me, and I'm going to send you two really, really neat gifts. The first is a free ebook of my book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. And the other one, as if that wasn't good enough, I'm going to give you a free quiz with even the answers. And it's called, what's it called? Oh my gosh. It is called, Are You a Candidate for Burnout? So it's a great quiz. And a lot of people don't even know they're close to burnout, and they don't even know if they are burning out because they're so involved in doing their thing. So wouldn't it be great to take a six-question quiz to find out how close you are and how serious things are as far as burnout goes? All right, enough of that. I'm going to unmute my guest now, the magic unmute button. And I'm going to welcome Joyce.
That was very interesting, Dave, and I want to thank you very much once again for having me on the show. It's an honor and pleasure, and I've known you for quite some time now, and you really are an inspiration to many, many people, including myself.
Well, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to this interview, and I also want to thank you for having me on your show. That's right, she has a radio show. Three different times over the last 3 years, every time a book came out, Joyce had me on her show. So she is so sweet. And this has been a long time coming, Joyce. We've been, you know, I think I've been here 6 months now doing this show. Basically, inspiration by Joyce is the reason I have this show. And so I want to thank you for the millionth time. Now let's get started. Joyce, I know we need to introduce you, don't you? Maybe take about 30 seconds and just introduce yourself.
Okay. I have a radio show, Mama Joyce, Messages of Hope, every Saturday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And I use my show mostly to add positive, loving, uplifting care for people who are hurting and challenged in the world, and offer them hope and how to live in this world in a better way, and how much and how easy it is once you know the skills and tools to add a very positive aspect in your life to this world. Instead of being a part of the problem, you become a part of the solution. So basically, that's what I'm about. I'm very compassionate, and I try to help people as much as I can.
Wow, you're just like Petula Clark. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Just isn't enough of it, is there?
That's
well,
right.
The first question I want to ask you is, because this is a show to caregivers who are suffering burnout, and I know you are, Joyce, you're the classic caregiver temperament type. I can't imagine you never burning out. Have you ever suffered burnout in your life? And if you have, please tell us about it.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, Dave, I would not be human if I didn't at some point in time suffer burnout. I think any caregiver would. It is how you process it, and sometimes you just have to work through it and, you know, embrace it and go through it and don't beat yourself up about it. It happens. I took care of both my parents when they were ailing in their senior years until they passed away. And I didn't have anybody to help me at the time, but that's something I would like to suggest, is that you get a support system going so that you are not the only one and that you do not have a constant burnout. Because if you're the only one and you can't depend on anybody else, you will definitely get burned out. And then that causes for, you know, all kinds of guilt and anger and all kinds of emotions that will encompass that when you don't have a good support system. So when I was taking care of my dad, he had leukemia, and towards the end of his life, he had his diaper. I had to change his diapers and clean him up and, you know, groom him and cut his toenails and just whatever I could do to make him feel better and more comfortable. And it would, to me, it was an honor to do it, because after all, when I was a baby, he changed my diapers.
Joyce,
so
you are a saint.
So he's returning the favor.
You are a saint. I always kid around with my daughter. I says, don't forget, when I'm old, you got to change my diaper. And she goes, I just want a commitment up front. You know what I mean?
Well, right.
Joyce, I know I wrote something in the introduction about you coming from an abused childhood, and I was just reading over and over. The list just goes on and on and on, and I'm saying, oh my gosh, when does this abuse stop? I can't believe the things you've been through, and much of it through your mother. And now you tell me that you were caring for her, and that's just an amazing story. That's got to be a true saint, to someone who can be a caregiver to someone who was abused by them. You know, we did a show about 4 weeks ago by a guest, Christopher Rausch, and it was, what do you do when you have to take care of your parents and you don't want to because they never took care of you? And he was abused.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a story similar to yours, and you know, he just did it because it was the right thing to do. And that just talks volumes about the integrity and the compassion and the godliness of a person who can just, you know, put aside everything. Doesn't mean that they don't hurt and they don't have tinges of unforgiveness, but they know that they have to do it anyway, you know, do the right thing anyway, even though they don't want to do it. So my question to you, Joyce, is how did you become so compassionate towards people, considering all the abuse that you've been through? Most people, you know, would allow that to make them bitter. We all know people like that, right? What made you so different that you turned out being so caring and helpful?
Well, I'll tell you, Dave, first of all, my mother had mental illness, and so I can say she was untreated as well. So as an adult, I didn't understand it as a child, of course, was very resentful and all that type of thing. But as an adult, I realized she couldn't help herself, and although the abuse was a lot of times horrific, I forgave her, and that's where you begin. You begin by forgiving. And also, I know what it feels like on the other end of the abuse. So while I was experiencing the abuse from my mother, I know how it made me feel and how I didn't have a support system, you know, at the time. And so I knew what that, see, not having it sometimes makes you more aware and more sensitive to right. what is needed, so that when I didn't have what I needed on the other, being on the other end of the abuse, I became for other people what I didn't have. Wow. And it helped me to be fine-tuned so that I was more receptive and more understanding. I had a deeper understanding and compassion for wow. those people who've been abused. Yeah.
Wow, and for those people who don't know the abuse we're talking about, just read the description on the show. We wrote it down. We don't need to go into it because it's just so horrific. It's just so depressing. But we're moving forward, and that's all behind Joyce. And you know, that's what people need to do. They can. I know a lot of people who just wallow in their injustice, you know, and they say, mm-hmm. oh, you know, I can't do it because this happened to me and that happened to me. And, you know, they just have excuses for everything. And when I look at someone like my wife, who has all the excuses in the world, but doesn't use any of them. You know, she had a stroke 19 years ago. She hasn't spoken in 19 years. She's in a wheelchair. She's paralyzed on her right side. And yet she is a more functioning part of society than most people are. So if she can do it, I'm sorry. There's no excuses for any of us. I broke my leg I broke my ankle on a bicycle accident, and it was very difficult even to get, you know, a little compassion out of her, because she just looks and says, well, what are you complaining about? How would you like to live 24 hours in this body that doesn't work? And you know what? All of a sudden, my complaining spirit went away, and I says, you know, you're right. I am very thankful and lucky to be alive, that I can talk, that all these bodily functions work. So I have a little pain in my ankle. Big deal. Well.
Oh, well, bless your heart.
Anyway, my next question, Joyce, is a follow-up question. How does forgiveness enter into this picture? Because you mentioned forgiveness. I mean, I've always heard that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. You know, it doesn't hurt the other person. It only hurts you.
Right. That's very true. And I will tell you this. Once I realized, Dave, that when I forgave, now you don't necessarily have to forgive the act that was done against you, but you forgive the person. And once you forgive the person, it's a process sometimes. It doesn't happen immediately. But once you practice forgiveness, then the healing begins. See, and until you learn to forgive, I've seen some people on the news that have lost their child to violence or whatever, and they have gone the extra mile, and they've forgiven the perpetrator who killed their child, you know, which is very difficult to do. But I'll tell you what helps me tremendously is my relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, because I learned all the attributes and characteristics in the Bible of God and His benevolence and forgiveness and love, unconditional love, and mercy and grace. And the more I experience that from God, my relationship, the more I want to share it with other people.
Wow, so you've got the joy of the Lord, and that's your strength, huh?
Right.
That's a scripture. Well, let me ask another question, and that's an excellent answer, by the way, because I don't think anybody can do it on their own. I heard the story of Corrie Ten Boom. She was a prisoner of war in the Nazi camp. She saw this one particular soldier kill her parents. And then after years after the war was over, you know, she was living her life, and she actually came face-to-face to the very man who was responsible for killing her parents. You can imagine what was going through her heart. And yet she was a wonderful Christian at that time. And she knew she had to forgive this man, but she didn't want to. But she knew that she had to. And the Holy Spirit just said, let me forgive through you. And so she did. And she has an amazing testimony today. Well, Joyce, my next question is, as many of our caregivers battle with depression, because, you know, they are in a grief process themselves, along with their care receiver, because of their situations, many of them feel like they're in caregiver prison. Do you ever still feel any despair or depression or just get overwhelmed at times, you know, considering the past you've come through?
Well, absolutely. Yes, I do experience depression sometimes and the feeling of overwhelmed. But the key to that, Dave, is not to remain there. It's okay to feel depressed. It's okay to feel overwhelmed. But it's not okay to remain there, because the longer you remain there, the deeper rooted it gets. So you need to learn how to process that, and it to, you know, it's okay. Like I, you know, I validate the depression and the and the things that you feel sometimes overwhelmed. We all get that way. We all get that way. But we need to realize that what we think, what we speak, and how it comes in, into behaving is that's gonna be the end result. So do we want to remain depressed or overwhelmed? No, of course not. But is it healthy to feel those things so we can have the contrast when we're not depressed, how good that feels? And we need to put our focus on that end result. So in other words, if I'm feeling depressed, sometimes that happens, I will go to the scriptures, or I'll turn on some Christian music, worship music, or I'll just simply pray and talk to God. And I try to do things that will give me a good end result. You know, but I do, like I say, I do allow myself to feel the depression and to feel the overwhelming effect, because we are human and we have to feel that sometimes. You know, I mean, my goodness, that's a part of who we are when we're going through caregiving and what have you. But to know that we have a God that loves us, and even when we make mistakes and make wrong choices and decisions, He loves us unconditionally. Sometimes He will allow us to be experiencing the outcome of our choice or circumstances to help us learn. And sometimes He'll just give us grace and mercy so we don't have to go through the consequence of our choice. And that we learn a deeper relationship with Him when He teaches us His mercy and grace. Then we can apply that to our lives and extend it to other people in need in their time of need.
Let me ask you a question, Joyce, since we're on this subject of depression, and we didn't discuss this in advance, it's just popped into my head. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are suffering clinical depression. I don't know what your opinion is on clinical depression, if you believe in it or you don't believe in it. But we're talking about people who don't get out of bed, people who aren't eating, they've lost their appetite, they don't see a purpose in bathing anymore, they just kind of don't even change out of their pajamas. What's your opinion on that? Do you believe see a doctor and perhaps get an antidepressant prescribed, or what's your feeling?
Well, I'll be honest with you in this respect. First of all, the people who are feeling so depressed, depending on if it's clinical and a chemical imbalance, of course medicine is going to be a help to them. But if it's mostly mainly an emotional problem, then they need a good support system, and sometimes they need both. It might be a little of both. Maybe it's a little chemical, maybe it's a little emotional, both. It depends on the person, and it depends on what works for you, because each one is different. There's no two people alike. There's no two kinds of depression alike, because it affects everybody differently. And if the person is experiencing not being able to get out of bed, and the world is troublesome, and they just don't want to live even, you know, they need a good support system. They need somebody, at least one person, that's going to be committed to being a support to them, to validating them, to loving them, and helping them. There are some people who don't want to be helped. You know, they're depressed, and they don't want to be helped, you know. So those are the type of people you can't force, because the outcome is going to be very negative. But what you can do is explain the pros and cons of what their behavior is. And if it's a clinical or chemical imbalance, perhaps they can get some medicine that will take them out of that and explain it. Tell them to try it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but to try. You know,
absolutely.
And there's ways to encourage and love people to, you know, to help them to feel validated and have value and worth. A lot of people are depressed because they don't feel that. They don't feel they have a purpose. Sometimes you can give somebody a purpose, you know, have them care for a child or care for a pet or something. Mm-hmm. Give them a purpose in life to pull them out of it.
Or a plant. The simple fact of watering a plant every day, you know, so it doesn't die.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Joyce, a lot of wisdom there. You're amazing. And we're going to take a 2-minute break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about stress relief. Okay? We'll be right back. Don't go away.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships. Available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Hear what Lynn Barrington, best-selling author of Daddies and Daughters, published by Simon & Schuster, has to say about it. You think you have it bad? Read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you will be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy Award winner, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch? This book will be an encouragement to anyone who reads it. Charlene just won't let the promises of God go. She's hanging on to her positive, godly attitude, and I look forward to the day when she will receive all that she's believing that God will do for her. In the meantime, she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. Her smile has gotten just as big as it was before her stroke. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. I'm glad to know her and her testimony. Read this book. You will be encouraged regardless of what you're going through. So get your copy of One Arm, One Leg, and 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. But if you purchased it from the author's website, Dave and Charlene Nassani will personally autograph your own copy. Just go to DaveNass.com. That's Dave, and then N like Nancy, A like Apple, S like Sam, SlikeSam.com. DaveNass.com. Oh, and while you're on his website, don't forget to leave your name and email address so that Dave can send you his free report, 10 Mistakes All Caregivers Make That You Shouldn't, just for visiting the site. There are a lot of resources, videos, and links to his radio podcast. Again, DaveNass.com. That's NASS. Now let's rejoin Dave Nassani and his guest on Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Program on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.
And we are back with Joyce Less, radio host, caregiver, homeless ministry founder, abuse survivor, and food pantry organizer. Joyce, I just got to brag about my wife. I love listening to that commercial. She just,
me too.
You know, if there was anyone on this earth who who is an example of being happy and experiencing the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Holy Spirit despite your circumstances. I mean, how bad can it get when you can't speak? You know, in the Bible, there was a guy named Zechariah who his wife was, you know, old and past the years of childbearing. And an angel told him, you're going to have a baby. And he kind of laughed. And he says, well, just for that, you're not going to speak until the baby's born. And, you know, he couldn't speak. So, I mean, that's what separates us from the animals, the ability to communicate. And my wife is just so gracious, just living through the trial, you know, the Job-like trial that God has allowed her to live through. And you know what? We're all learning from it. We're all being better. I like who it's made us become. So there, I said it.
Well, I'll tell you, Dave, she is delightful. I met her. She's an inspiration. And both of you are such a positive, wonderful, loving example of God's love. And you really make a difference in our world.
Oh, you're kind. But, you know, you're not chopped liver yourself. I can say that because you're Jewish, right?
Right, right.
Okay, well, on to the questions. Joyce, what are some of the things that you do to relieve stress and tension? Because, you know, we live in a stress-filled world. So that you don't go back to that despair, that depression, overwhelming feelings. You might have touched on some of this, but just comment on that if you would.
Sure. Well, first of all, we got to get to the source of what's causing the stress or the feeling of being overwhelmed. Once we discover what that is, what that stress is, whether it's a God forbid loss of a loved one or a job or finances, whatever it is, realize it for what it is, okay? And then you need to regroup and process differently how you've been processing it before. Because when you process it in a negative way and allow it to affect you in a physical manner, because stress does do that, then you're giving in to the problem. The best thing to do is when you have stress, and we will, like you said, Dave, we sure are going to have stress. One of the ways we can alleviate that is to turn on some music that is inspiring and encouraging, going to the Bible, the Word of God, and those. He has got such wonderful, encouraging scriptures, and he's a promise keeper. That's what I love, is my relationship. Not about religion, it's about relationship. And he desires a relationship with us. So when you learn his attributes, when you learn his characteristics, you apply them to your life, then when something hits you, whether it's stress or being overwhelmed, you're going to be better apt to cope with it and to alleviate it. But you need to have a relationship with God in order to do that, because it says in John 15:5, you can't do anything without him.
Amen. That's a great answer. Let me ask you another question. How is it that you live your life so positively? I mean, what do you attribute all of that to, considering all that you've been through?
Well, I'll tell you, sometimes it isn't so easy. I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's a challenge to be positive, especially when you're surrounded by a lot of different negative circumstances. But it's a choice, Dave. It's a choice. We have the freedom to choose how we're going to behave in a certain circumstance or situation. Are we going to allow it to negate us? Are we going to allow it to destroy us or harm us? Or are we going to turn it around, and when life throws you lemons, you throw it back and ask for chocolate.
Yes, that's a good analogy.
You know, you just have to. It's again how you process things, how you want to behave, what outcome you want to receive. You know,
right.
if you process it in a positive way, you'll have a positive outcome.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is so true. That is so true. Now, Joyce, I know you don't like to brag, but just how much food and money and clothing, et cetera, have you given away in your 35 years of ministry? And did I leave something out? Are there other things that you give away besides that?
Well, I give away a lot of different things. Whatever donations that come in, they go out as soon as they come in. But I don't keep track of anything, Dave, because that would be defeating the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is I receive gift cards to fast food places like McDonald's, Jack in the Box, Subway, like that. And then I put them into the hands of those in need so at least they could have a hot meal. You know, and I have also I receive blankets and clothing like jackets and sweaters and hats, especially in the colder months, and gloves and socks, and I place them into the hands. I load up my little car and place those into the hands of people who are in need. And I know where a lot of the places are, Dave, because I've been doing it for over 30 years, and I know a lot of the camps, or if I see them on the street, I pull over. And I don't give money, and most often, a majority of the time, I don't receive money, because I believe there's other ways that you could give. It doesn't have to be with money. People say, oh, I don't have any money, but how can I help somebody? Well, you can help somebody with your time. You know,
yeah.
You can make yourself available, absolutely. Or a $5 gift card to McDonald's to get a hot meal, or Subway, get some soup, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different ways that we can make ourselves available and helping, you know. So I have a cornucopia abundance of different ideas and ways that we could help people, and a majority of them don't cost a penny.
Well, give us a few right now on the air.
Okay. You can go in. Yeah, some of you can go into your closet in your home, and if you have a gently used jacket that doesn't fit you anymore, or you don't care for it anymore, or some socks that are gently used, or a blanket that is gently used. And I do say gently used because you don't want to give somebody, a homeless person or even low-income person, something that's soiled or torn, because that makes them feel terrible. You know, God gives us the very best when we ask. So that's what I try to do. I try to give the very best. I would love to be able to give new things, but oftentimes I don't get new things. So I ask for gently used things. And you can go into your closet, and or you can just make some sandwiches up in your house and get some juice and hand those out. You know, you could go to the dollar store, the 99-cent store, and get a toothpaste, a toothbrush, a washcloth, a pair of socks, some candy, a razor, and just put them in a little bag for a hygiene kit, like a hygiene kit, and hand those out.
Like $5 or $10, boom.
Sure.
And peanut butter and jelly, would they appreciate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Oh, sure they would.
Everybody
sure they
likes
would.
That.
Peanut butter and jelly, you betcha. They love that.
Wow, that's really... Give me a couple more. Those are good.
Sure, sure. Another thing that you can do is you can go to the convalescent homes and read to them, or if you have a skill like singing or, like I said, reading a book, maybe they want you to read to them. They can't see. Or help feed them, or comb their hair, and make yourself available to them. Because a lot of times, people put families put their loved ones in a convalescent home, and then they kind of forget them. And and you know, they have added so much to our world, the elderly people, and we need to love them and care for them. So, and that doesn't take anything except your time.
Absolutely. Joyce, these are amazing ideas. I never would have thought of these in a million years. You got more? Keep coming.
Sure, I got a, I've got a million of them, like Jimmy Durante says.
Some people are saying, Jimmy who?
Yeah,
give us
they
more.
Might not know him.
Give us two or three. give us two or three more. These are great.
Sure, sure. Well, sometimes what I do is I go around. Now, there's a lot of people in the neighborhood who know me. And so they call me up. They say, Mama Joyce, what do you need at this time of year? You know, depending on what time of the year it is. In the winter, I have sweaters, jackets that I collect, hats, gloves. And so they call me up or I call them up. And I ask, you know, do you have anything that you'd like to donate from your closets? You're cleaning out your closet, you know, and you want to utilize some of those gently used things. You can give them to me, and I'll put them into the people's hands who are in need. You can go to the grocery store, and they have a day-old bakery that's still good. And you can get the day-old bakery and pass those along as well. You can, you know, there's just so many things. You can make yourself available to the local library and read for children. You know, children love to be read to, and they like people when they're animated, you know, and they're reading to them. They love that. They love that. So don't limit yourself to the senior citizens, although they do need our love and our help. But make yourself available to the local library as well. Mm-hmm. You can also, you know, find out where the precious veterans are, and maybe their family who is left here and they're overseas, maybe they need some respite. Maybe right. they need some time away from the kids or whatever. You could go and volunteer, and you could babysit for them.
Wow.
Or you could find out, and this is another thing, too. Now, this costs a little money. That doesn't. That does cost your time. But if you know somebody in your neighborhood or you know a veteran who served our country and maybe their family mm-hmm. is struggling a little and you have it by you, you have it, well, maybe you could help pay a bill for them or get them some groceries or, like I said, babysit for them. You know, there's so many different aspects you could think of if you sit down and make a list of all the things and what makes you feel comfortable, because maybe sometimes people don't feel comfortable doing one thing, but
right.
they may be, feel comfortable doing something else.
And it is truly more blessed to give than to receive. I can't even explain the joy of giving to somebody, because, you know, I've gone to Mexico, Tijuana, missions. I've gone down to the areas, you know, here in Santa Clarita, people are actually living in tents in the riverbed. And now you live in
wow.
Sunland Tahunga, a very rural area up there. Do you have people living in the woods by you as well, in tents and stuff?
Yes, some of them do. Absolutely, they
yeah.
sure
some
do.
Some of those areas are
yeah.
kind of dangerous. You know, there's drug use and stuff. But I mean, that's how bad things are here in America, the richest country in the world. We got people living in tents in the woods. You know. Not because they want
yes.
them.
Yes.
But I understand you've got supermarkets who have donated lots and lots of food for you, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe they had an overabundance. Or tell me about that.
Yes, I have. I have in the past, of course. The places that I went to have since ceased doing that. They've either closed their doors or the economy's gotten so bad, you know, or sometimes they won't give anymore because if somebody complains or they say they get sick, they don't want to be
right.
sued. So they're very careful on what they distribute. But I used to go to a couple of the grocery stores and a couple bakeries, and they would load up my little minivan at the time. And I would go to the places like the seniors building in Sherman Oaks. There's a Jewish senior building there. And they would come once a week, and I'd give them milk and eggs and bread and butter. And what they are is they're just about to be expired. They're not expired.
Yeah.
Nothing I give is expired, but almost, you know, so they can
yeah.
use them up in the next 2 or 3 days, and that helps them tremendously being on low income. So I've done that quite a bit.
Well, you're
and
amazing.
I did that for
Joy.
Many years.
You're amazing. I know you've won awards from the county, from the state, from the city, because you are just a wonderful contribution to society. And I just wanted to thank you personally for doing that, and I know everyone else wants to thank you as well. We're going to take another short break, and we will be back. So don't go away, okay?
Okay.
Tune in to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver program, every Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. The whole purpose of this show is to help support you in your caregiving responsibilities so that you take care of yourself first, so that you don't burn out, because your loved ones are counting on you to take care of them. And Dave Nassani should know. He's been a caregiver to his wife for over 19 years after she suffered a debilitating stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. After a 2-year grieving period, she came to the realization that she had to play the cards that she was dealt. And so she decided to reinvent herself and attempt to do all the things that she was famous for doing before her stroke, like gourmet cooking, hosting dinner parties for 12, interior decorating, sewing, and too many other hobbies and activities to mention here. She now basically makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers by continuing to do almost everything she did before her stroke. But in essence, she does it with one arm and one leg tied behind her back, and she might as well have duct tape over her mouth too, since she can't speak. And she does it all with her amazing positive attitude and smile. So what's your excuse for not playing the cards that you were dealt and turning those lemons into lemonade? Dave has been so inspired by Charlene's attitude that it inspired him to reach out to caregivers by writing 3 books and starting this radio program to make sure that caregivers have a place to go to get the support that they need in order to avoid burnout and to get through the grief process. Now get ready to learn how you can avoid burnout and survive grief. It's Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. And here again is your host, Dave Nassani.
And we are back again with Joyce Less, amazing individual, radio host, caregiver, homeless ministry founder, abuse survivor, and food pantry organizer. Joyce, I understand you have a vision that you say God has given you for this big old ranch, right? Tell us about that. Tell us about your vision.
Yes, I do. I will. For many years, God has put on my heart to extend myself in ministry to the veterans and our military of our country, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have this freedom to talk on the show and to have shows like this. So a lot of times they come home from war, and they're not met, their needs are not met. So God has given me for a ranch. And what I'd like to do, I'd like it to be a green-built ranch. I believe that's, you know, after God's own heart, in California somewhere. And I would like to have the veterans come and their families live on the ranch and have all of their needs be met, have a medical and psychological and physical, financial, emotional, spiritual, have all aspects of their needs to be met and not cost a penny. And the only way that that's going to happen is through love offerings or donations. And, you know, just like an extreme makeover home edition, but this would be quite expansive, you know, expand, you know, where they'd have different cabins on there and a main house and a garden and of fruit trees and vegetable garden and all different kinds of aspects, and they can become involved in keeping up the ranch and while living on there. Also, if God wanted to send other people there who are in need or challenged, I would, of course, embrace them and help them get on their feet, and then they can leave and then go and impart the brotherhood of mankind to other people. You know, but there would be some that would live there and help maintain the ranch and become healed and connect back to God and his son, Jesus Christ. And some people would transition out, you know, some people would come in and get what they have need for and then go out and pay it forward. You know, every aspect of their being, not just the mental, not just the physical, you know, all these things. Because a lot of times they come back and they don't get their needs met, Dave. You know, either the economy can't support them or something's going on. I don't know what to say about that. But I know there's enough people in our world still that can make this vision come true. There's enough revenue left. Not our government.
Yeah.
I'm not saying our government, but people, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you get 1 million people, you know, donate money, or Bill Gates write a check, or Warren Buffett. I mean, that's a big vision, but it's God's vision, and certainly he can talk to individuals and...
And actually, here's what I was hoping. This might be very idealistic or maybe a dream or unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm hoping is not for money, Dave, but for people to come and help build it with skills, materials. That's why I mentioned Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Yeah.
It was all donated, and it didn't have to do with money. Some of it did. Some of it did.
Yeah.
But there's enough people and companies that when they do that, they get blessed for it. You know, they donate the materials to build the places. They donate the fruits and vegetables and the storehouses and backup generators and the solar paneling and stuff. So that's ultimately, I don't like to solicit for money. I don't believe in that. I believe there's so many people with skills and materials that they can donate that it doesn't have to involve money.
Sure. It's like Habitat for Humanity. It's all donated. They go in there for a week or so, and they build a house, you know?
Exactly.
That kind of thing. Well, that's an amazing vision, Joyce. And I know you've been slowing down over the years because our bodies are breaking down. You've got arthritis issues and knees and... And like the old song says, don't get around much anymore.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you do need a ranch to continue this vision instead of the onesies, twosies.
And people
you know,
to help run it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm excited for you, and I'll be continuing to pray for that because I've known about this. So what are you doing lately, these days? What current projects are you involved with right now?
Well, I'll tell you, lately what I've been doing is collecting donations, getting ready for this inclement weather coming up. And so I've been receiving a few coats here and there and a couple of blankets and some non-perishable food items and some children's toys. But it's very slim. And I don't know if it's because the economy is so bad or people don't have things that they can donate. I've been trying to encourage and inspire people to go into their closets and ask relatives and neighbors, friends, coworkers, if they have these. Because if you ask enough, you're going to get, you know.
Right.
And like I said, it doesn't cost any money. You know, you could just go into your closet, get a gently used blanket or a jacket, some gloves, and donate them to Mama Joyce. And if you don't live here where I live locally and shipping is expensive and what have you, you could certainly do it where you live. It doesn't have to be that you donate to me. That's okay. But as long as you keep the ball rolling in your perspective area, that would be an ideal situation too.
Wow, you're amazing. So how can someone contact you if they want to donate food or clothing or gift certificates, etc.? Did I leave anything out? Type of things that
you
would donate.
You did good. Or maybe they want to donate a ranch. They have a ranch already built up in California, and they want to donate it and get that going for our precious veterans.
Or if they want to donate their time.
Or their time, absolutely. I'd love it. I love it.
How do we contact?
Yeah, they could contact me at my P.O. box. I have Joyce Lest, L-E-S-T, lest we forget, Post Office Box 1145, Sunland, S-U-N-L-A-N-D, California, 91041. Or they could go to my website, angeloflovministry.com. You'll see the links at the top of the page to further prove my credibility. And you could contact me email. If you scroll down there, it will also give you my email. You could contact me that way. So you're very welcome to do that, either one of those, angeloflovministry.com or Joyce Lest, Post Office Box 1145, Sunland, S-U-N-L-A-N-D, California, 91041. Now, I do want to add this, if I may, Dave, that I am not a 501c3 because I am one person. I'm not a corporation. I'm not a company. So what I do, I don't make any profit on it. I don't make any money on this or anything. What I do is I do it myself, and if somebody wants to come alongside of me and help me, I'd love it. You know, I don't ever debunk that, but I just want people to understand that you have to be a corporation, you have to have people with you to do, you know, lots and lots of things. But I've managed by myself, with God's help, of course, and God's enabling, to collect things and put them into the hands of those in need. See, that's another reason with the ranch. I'd rather people who have revenue and skills and time and everything come and help me with the ranch and not the government. The government is taxed enough already, and they're very depleted. And so that's why I try to do things like this. I'm not saying I'm an island unto myself. I'm not. I welcome whatever help God sends. I'm not a nonprofit person with the 501c3s. Yeah, so I just wanted people to understand that. And if you're looking for a tax write-off, you know, tell let people know that you have donated. As far as a government one, I can't do that. So if that's where your heart is and you want a tax write-off, I'm sorry, you know, I can't do that for you. But if your heart is that you want to give, and it doesn't matter about a tax write-off, that you've donated clothes or gift cards or whatever, then feel free to do that, however the Lord leads.
Wow. Well, that's great. Now, Joyce, what last bit of advice in the last couple of minutes here can you give my caregiver listening audience, many of whom are burned out, that they can implement immediately right now in their lives? They call it a takeaway.
Okay. Well, you could try to turn whatever you're feeling, the burnout or the overwhelming feeling, into something loving, something that gives you pleasure and joy to deter that feeling. Like I said, it's okay to feel that way, but not to remain there. So discover what makes you feel happy and what gives you joy, and do that to make a break away from what you're experiencing. And I do want to impress upon you that God is love. And if you build a relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, the burnouts will be less and less, and you'll be able to implement His love, His mercy and grace that you receive from Him into your life, and then you will be able to impart it to the brotherhood of mankind.
Well, now this is a little unorthodox, but what if somebody wants to have Jesus come into their heart? How does that happen, since you are an expert on this topic?
Yeah. Well, what I've done is I've said to people that Jesus loves you unconditionally, so no matter what you've done or said or whatever, He wants you to have a relationship with Him. So ask Him, go to Him and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I know You died on the cross for my sins. I know that You love me unconditionally, and I want to turn away and repent from the lifestyle and the things that I've done, but I can't do it myself. I need You to help me. So I want You to come into my life, and I want to accept You as my personal Lord and Savior. Please, please, Jesus, have a relationship with me where I could talk to You, learn about You, and grow. And He is so forgiving and so loving. I mean, God loves us so much, He sent His Son to show us how much He loves us on that cross to die for our sins. It's just a simple asking, but you need to ask with a genuine heart, not just ask and then turn around and go do what you want to do, because you want the seeds to be planted in good soil. So you ask Him from a heart of total, you know, asking God, please forgive me. And please, I want to accept You, Jesus, into my life and wash away all my sins and help me to live a life for You. You do that, and He is ready. He's with open arms. He's ready to receive you and love you and forgive you.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you for that. But how does a Jewish person have Jesus in his heart? I thought Jews don't believe in Jesus. So you want to clarify that?
Sure. They believe, mostly the Jews believe that he was a prophet of God. I happen to know the truth. I sought the truth. When you speak the truth and he draws you, Jesus draws you to himself. He doesn't force. He doesn't ever force, and we shouldn't force either. He was a living example to me of love and forgiveness. And when I saw all the things that I went through, Dave, how he forgave me and how he saw me through it, his mercy was there. How could I not want to believe in such a God as that? And I've experienced such love and such forgiveness that I love much, and the depth of his forgiveness for me has just filled me with his Holy Spirit. You need to experience that, you know, and that's what I did.
Someone said it's better felt than telt.
Right, and he does draw us. He does. He cares about us. He will place us in situations where we will realize we need him.
That's right. He uses tragedy a lot. He's a great recycler. You know, in Mexico,
yes,
they use
is.
Bed springs for fences. They use tires for retaining walls. They don't waste anything over there. They recycle everything. And I like to describe God as a recycler because he uses tragedies to bring people around and turn
yes.
that bad into good. If you let him, it can either make you
right.
bitter or better. It's up to you. Choice
right.
is yours. Well, Joyce,
that's
thank
right.
you again for allowing me to interview you. And thank you for all your wisdom. And thank you to my listening audience for tuning in every Wednesday at noon Pacific Standard Time. And don't forget that all of our shows are recorded podcasts, including this one, that you can listen to on our website, davenass.com. And they're on iTunes as well. Just tune in to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver. By the way, when you are on my website, please don't forget to register your visit. And you can also take the test, Am I a Candidate for Burnout? We will give you a free ebook of my book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. It's getting rave reviews still. So till next week, may God richly bless you. Thank you, Joyce. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver radio show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern, to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process, right here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.